Let's try that one more time. Say word. Was that good? No, let's try that one more time. Say word. Very good. Let's see your pens.
Lesson plan.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. That was weak. Let's go to Luke chapter 1.
Luke.
How y'all doing? Y'all awake? Y'all kind of like... How many of y'all are looking so forward to going shopping tomorrow? I have to go to the mall tomorrow, so if you see me at the mall, just pray. I'm just going to try to go to one store, get one thing, and get out. What time does the mall open? Anybody know? Nine? Nine. Seven? Oh, nine. Okay. The last time I went to the mall was last Christmas, and I got there. I was like the only one to walk around. Everything was closed, so I left. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much just for blessing us. And Lord, it seems like every Christmas since we were little, it was always like 365 more days, and it has come so fast. And we pray for this Christmas that people's lives will really be changed, that it wouldn't be about the toys under the tree, but it'd be the Savior under the cross, on the cross. So thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for those little kids that were up here today, and we pray that they would all walk with you all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure all of you, most of you have heard of Chris Henry, the football player from the Cincinnati Bengals that passed away, 26 years old, was thrown out of the back of a pickup truck and died from blunt force trauma to his head. And when you think of Chris Henry, you think of what the media has told you. He's been arrested. He was arrested five times, I believe, in one NFL year. If I don't have that straight, forgive me, but he was arrested five times and suspended from the NFL. And they, you know, considered him a problem child. And then they let him back on the team, back into the league, for that matter. And the team re-signed him. And a lot of people were kind of sketchy. Why would they bring him back after all the problems he had caused? Well, I've done the chapel the last two times the Bengals were here in town, and about 2 months ago, they called me to do it again last night. And so I had been scheduled for a couple months to do it, and then this happened. And so when I went last night, I just knew God had this plan that I would be there and be an encouragement to him. One of the coaches I've known for, gosh, 15 years, actually Chris Henry's coach, used to go to church when I was at Horizon, another church a long time ago. And so it was a very good opportunity to go in there and minister to the guys. And I didn't know what kind of mood it was going to be. In October, the beginning of October, the defensive coordinator's wife, 51 years old, died of natural causes suddenly. And she used to bring cookies to the guys on the team. And so she was like the team mom, if you will. She passed away just out of the blue. So they've had a lot of death, a lot of tragedy. So when I went to the chapel last night, there were about 20 people total in the chapel. I asked them, I said, before we start, I wanted some of you to just tell me something really good about Chris that you remember. And one of the players said, he was just a very real person. Another player said, and this guy was he was very emotional. I don't know if he was crying, but he was very emotional about it. He said, look, I've been in the league a long time. My locker was next to his for all the years he's been here. And he's never, ever once said something negative about anybody. And he said, that's very rare because guys talk trash all the time. Another guy said, we went to play the New Orleans Saints, and he took me around. And because Chris was from New Orleans, told me all about Katrina and what happened and was just spent the day with me showing me around. Another coach said, my son plays in high school, and him and Chris struck up a relationship, and he came to see my son play a high school game, and the whole game it rained. And he sat there in the stands in the rain the whole time, watched the game. And they just went around the room saying all these nice things about him. They were all lighting up, just happy for the opportunity to say something positive in light of all the negative that is heard. We all, have our critics. And then we have the people who know us and love us. And then we have God. And God says, I know all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And here's one thing I know is I love you. And I have a plan for your life. And the day one of the coach's daughters was in the bookstore buying a Bible for Chris Henry, got his name put on it, her phone rang, and she got the call he had died while she was buying the Bible. There is somebody probably praying for you, doing something on your behalf as I speak right now, because God is always reaching out to all of us. Now, a lot of y'all in here have asked Christ to be your Savior. You too. He's wanting to take you to another level. Some of you have never asked Christ to be your Savior. God is reaching out to you. It's because of his promise to us to never leave us or forsake us. And God has made a promise to you to give you a future and a hope. And he never take that back, that promise. It will be you that rejects it, which we don't want you to. But his promise is always extended to you no matter where you're at in your life. I don't know if Chris Henry ever got saved. I don't have any evidence either way. But the point is that God loved him no matter what the media said, no matter what trouble he was in, God still loved him. And there were still signs of his heart being tended to the Lord and his heart just being a good guy. God loves all of you. In this story we're going to look at today, and then we're going to finish it up on Thursday, it's about the promise that God has made to us to send us a Savior. And today we're going to look at what the promise was, and Thursday we're going to look at the fact that the promise was fulfilled. And so we're going to, so let's read in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 26. Chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, the sixth month of Elizabeth being pregnant." Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother. And it says that he was sent to Galilee to a city named Nazareth to a virgin, say virgin, a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Everyone say Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Everyone say, Jesus.
Jesus.
That just somehow didn't come out right. It's okay. He says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Oh, she's never been with a man, which is really what that means. And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born to you will be called the Son of God. Indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." You need to always be reminded that with God, nothing is impossible. Everyone say, nothing's impossible. Please notice, if God has called you to do something, just know this for a fact. He will not tell you how he's going to do it. He may tell you a little bit. He's never going to tell you the whole story. I promise you. Ever. He will tell you just as much as he thinks you need to know to get you to start moving. Now, if you're saying, "Lord, I need more," he's saying, "No, I told you enough. You need to go." With God, nothing is impossible. If God has challenged you in something, hold on to the challenge and the promise. He can do it. Everyone say, he can do it. How many of you believe God can do anything? Raise your hand. Okay, very good. So let me tell you the evidence of you not believing that when you worry. If God can do it, you won't worry. So when you worry, subconsciously, constantly, you're going, "I don't know if God's going to do it. I don't know if God's going to do it." Verse 38. Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Angels. In this story today and in the story Thursday, This is going to be about God's promise as spoken by an angel. Say angels. Angels are ministering servants. They are involved in the Bible from the very first book in the Bible, third chapter, I believe it was, all the way to the end of the Bible. Angels are ministering servants to God, according to Hebrews. They are sent to serve you. Your angel, assigned to you at birth, sees the face of God. We all have angels involved in your life every single day. You also have demons involved in your life. The devil's influence. The devil himself probably doesn't mess with any of us in this room. We're not big enough for him. But he doesn't need to. He's got demons that are way more powerful than us, and that's enough. But they mess with you. Those are bad angels, angels fallen from heaven. The good angels still serve God, and there's more than them than we can count. There are angels who sing. There's angels who guard us. There's angels who carry us. Luke chapter 16, the angels carried someone to heaven. A beggar, he carried him to heaven. Angels are involved in judging the world. But there's only two angels in the Bible who have names. One is Michael. Anybody here named Michael, by the way? Any Mikes in the room? Mike. Who else? Mike. Where else? Michael. Who else? Say amen. There you go. Michael. Okay. Here's what Michael means. Michael means who is like God. So you need to ask the people in your life, am I like God? Michael was a fighting angel. He was like the Mike Tyson of angels. Okay? He fought against the devil. Let me read Revelation chapter 12. It says there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, the devil. In Jude verse 8, it says Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil about Moses' body, he fought against the devil. When Daniel was crying out to God, Gabriel the angel came down, and the devil resisted him, and Michael went and set him free. So Michael was a fighting angel, scarred up, dreadlocks, gold teeth, all that kind of stuff. Okay? I'm just trying to give you a visual, okay? There was another angel with a name called Gabriel. Anybody here named Gabriel? Any Gabriels in the room? No? Your name is Gabriel? No? You just raise your hand because... Where? We got to have a Gabriel. Blue shirt? Okay, Gabriel, do you know what Gabriel means? Okay, I'm getting ready to tell you. It means hero of God. Oh, you, brother, you. I don't know you, do I? Okay, so whatever I say, I don't know you, okay? You need to be a hero of God. You need to be a hero of God. If you're not, you need to be, so we'll talk after him. Tighten you up. Mike L and Gabriel, the L means God. Is there a girl in here named Gabriella? Gabriella? Yes? So we'll just say you're a female hero of God. Are you a hero of God? You are? Go ahead, girl. This is Gabriel. Gabriel, by the way, do you talk a lot, Gabriella? Okay, Gabriel is a speaker. Gabriel is an announcing angel. He spoke to Daniel, gave him visions. He announced the birth of John the Baptist. He announced the birth of Jesus. He's a speaking angel. You know, he's not a fighter. He's a pretty boy kind of guy, brother. You know, just kind of. So he's going to announce to Mary three things. He's going to tell her who is going to be born. He's going to tell her how everybody's going to know it's who I say is being born. And he's going to say why he's being born. That's what he's going to tell, amongst many things. Number one, who is going to be born? The Son of God. The Son of God. Mary, the son you are going to deliver will eventually deliver you. The son you are going to have is going to walk on water. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to heal the blind, the mute, and the deaf, and heal the lame and the sick. That's who your son is, the Son of God. Whenever you see in the Bible, as a matter of fact, if you really pay attention to Jesus, to the Word of God, you will notice that Jesus has many names. As a matter of fact, in Revelation it says when we see him in heaven, he's going to have a name no one knows. So all the names we do know, which there are many, I'm getting ready to read a bunch to you, there's going to be a name that's going to be revealed to us in the end that we don't even know. Now, if you're from the north, or by the way, if you're not from the south, you probably have one name, like Miles or John or Jim or Jane or whatever. If you're from the South, you probably got two names, like Betty Joe and Betty Boop, you know, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Well, Jesus got a whole bunch of names. I'm going to read some to you. And they're in alphabetical order, so you can kind of think as I'm going along, you'll see how far we got to go or how long it takes me to get through each letter. But here are the names. Everyone take a deep breath. One more time. Not that you have to do anything. It's really for me. So, Adam, Advocate, Almighty, Alpha, Omega, Amen, Angel, Angel of His Presence, Anointed, Apostle, Arm of the Lord, Author and Finisher of the Faith, Beginning and End of Creation, Beloved, Blessed, and Pontificate, Branch, Bread of Life, Bridegroom, Bright and Morning Star, Brightness of the Father's Glory, Captain of the Lord's Army, Captain of Salvation, Carpenter, Carpenter's Son, Chief Shepherd, Chief Cornerstone, Chiefest among 10,000, Child, Chosen of God, Christ, the Christ, Christ the King, Christ Jesus our Lord, Christ of God, Christ the Chosen of God, Christ the Lord, Christ the Power of God, Christ the Wisdom of God, Christ the Son of God, Christ the Blessed of God, Command the Consolation, Cornerstone, Counselor, Covenant, that's up to C. Someone say amen. Amen. David, Daysman, Dayspring, Daystar, Deliverer, the Desire of All Nations, the Door, Elect, Emmanuel, Ensign, Eternal Life, Everlasting Father, Faithful and True, Faithful Witness, Faithful and True Witness, Finish of Our Faith, First and Last, First Begotten of the Dead, Firstborn, Foundation, Fountain, Forerunner, Friends of Sinners, Gift of God, Glory of Israel, God, God the Blessed, God Manifest in the Flesh, God of Israel, the Savior, God the Whole Earth, God of Savior, God's Dear Son, God with Us, Good Master, Governor, Great Shepherd of the Sheep, Head of the Church, Heirs of all things, High Priest, Head of Every Man, Head of Every Corner, Holy Child, Holy One of God, Holy One of Israel, let me wipe my mouth. Holy Thing, Hope, Horn of Our Salvation, I Am, Image of God, Israel, Jehovah, Jehovah's Fellow, Jesus, everyone say Jesus. Jesus Christ our Lord, Christ, Jesus Christ our Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus King of Kings, Jesus Son of God, Jesus Son of Joseph, Judge, Just Man, Just Person, Just One, King, King of Israel, King of the Jews, King of Saints, King of Kings, King of Glory, King of Zion, King of all the earth, Lamb, Lamb of God, Lord, Giver, Leader, Life, Light, Everlasting Light, Light of the World, Light of the Gentiles, True Light, Living Bread, Living Stone, Lion of Judah, Lion, Lord, Lord of all, Lord of Lords, Lord of all, Lord of Lord our Righteousness, Lord God Almighty, Lord of Heaven, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord of glory, Lord of hosts, Lord mighty in battle, Lord of the dead and the living, Lord of the Sabbath, Lord over all, Lord Christ, strong and mighty Lord, Lord of the righteousness, Lord your Holy One, Lord your Redeemer, whole lot of Lords, Man of Christ, Man of Sorrows, Master, Mediator, Messenger, Messiah, Messiah the Prince, Mighty God, Mighty One of Israel, Mighty One of Jacob, Mighty to Save, Minister of the Sanctuary, Morning Star, Most Holy, Most Mighty Nazarene, Offspring of David, Only Begotten, Only Wise God of Savior, Overseer, Passover, Plant of Renown, Pontinent, Power, Physician, Precious Cornerstone, Priest, Prince, Prince of Life, Prince of Peace, Prince of the Kings of the Earth, Prophet, Propitiation, Rabbi, Rabboni, Ransom, Redeemer, Resurrection and the Life, Redemption, Righteous Branch, Righteous Judge, Righteous Servant, Righteousness, Rock, Rock Church, Rock of Offense, Root of David, Root of Jesse, Rose of Sharon, Ruler, Salvation, Sanctification, Sanctuary, Savior, Savior Jesus Christ, Savior of the Body, Savior of the World, Skeptic, Second Man, Seed of David, Seed of the Woman, Servant, Servant of Rulers, Shepherd, Shepherd and Overseers of the Souls, Chief Shepherd, Good Shepherd, Great Shepherd, Shepherd of Israel, Shiloh, Son of the Father, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of the Blessed, Son of the Highest, Son of David, Star, Son of Righteousness, Surety, Stone, Stone of Stumbling, Sure Foundation, Teacher, True God, True Vine, Truth, Unspeakable Gift, Very Christ, Divine, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, Wisdom, the Wisdom of God, Witness, Wonderful Word, Word of God, and Word of Life. Say amen. Say, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. Say Jesus. Jesus. The angel said, Mary, that's your son. All those names. And when we get to heaven, all those names are going to be put into one name, the name that we don't even know yet. He's all of that in a bag of chips, and he goes on and on and on and on. He's the Word of God. Number two in your notes. How will you know that that's your son? How will we know that that is a Savior? He will be born of a virgin. Jesus will be born of a virgin. I do believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. What does that mean? That Mary never had man love up until the point of having Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine a young lady today, teenager, which Mary was, saying, I'm pregnant, and I've had this said to me a jillion times, I'm pregnant, and I don't know what happened. Oh, I know what happened. But Mary could say that. I don't know what happened. Now, some of you may not believe in a virgin birth. I absolutely believe in a virgin birth. You say, well, how can that happen? It doesn't matter. God does stuff above our pay grade. Just because you don't understand how God does something doesn't mean he didn't do it, because the truth doesn't begin and end with us. It begins and ends with God. And so God says, here's what God said, I am going to impregnate this woman my way. I can do anything I want, and that's how you are going to know. Because no one else can get pregnant except by man love. So I'm going to do something that's never been done and never will be done ever again. Now, what's interesting about the Bible is that in the Bible, the Old Testament is a foundation to the New Testament. In other words, the Old Testament prepares you for what the New Testament is going to talk about. And one of the things in the Old Testament that happens many times is that women who can't have babies end up having babies. I mean, they do it because of man love, but what happens is they try and try and try, and nothing happens. And then God comes along and says, now I give you the ability to have a baby. Sarah was 90 years old, walking around like this. And God said, you're going to have a baby. And she she hit him with the cane. This is true. In Genesis chapter 18, 19, she came to Abraham, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah's in the tent going, that brother's tripping. I don't know who that, because, you know, the Lord came down and talked to Abraham in a man, Jesus in the Old Testament. And she had a baby. She had Isaac. Isaac's wife was barren, couldn't have a baby. God said, you're going to have a baby. She had a baby. And then Jacob's wife couldn't have a baby. God said, you're going to have a baby. She had a baby. And then Samson's mother couldn't have a baby. And the angel of the Lord said, you're going to have a baby. Hannah, Samuel's mother, couldn't have a baby. And then she had a baby. All these women couldn't have babies, and God intervened, gave them a son, and that son had a very special role in the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, Hannah, who was Samuel's mother, she said, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. And God said, that's all I wanted you to hear you say. Now, I'm not saying if you say that, you're going to have a baby if you can't have one today. But I will tell you this. When you pray to God for whatever you pray to God for, what God wants to hear is not only the prayer, but the attitude behind the prayer. And the attitude is this. God, your will be done, not mine. And God, here's what I want. And if you give it to me, I'll use it for however you want. So everything you have, God wants you to use for his purpose, because he has given it to you for his glory. God doesn't give you anything for your glory, nothing. It's for his glory. Now, you get glory when you walk with him. Some of his glory just kind of overflow and bounces on you, and you kind of, look at me, okay? But it's all about him. And so when you say, Lord, I want this, but not my will be done, your will be done in heaven. He says, now I'm talking. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get everything you ask for. What it means that you are going to get what he wants for you to get. Remember we talked about a few weeks ago, talking about praying in Jesus' name, what that means? Praying in Jesus' name means, Lord, I want this in Jesus' name, which means I want this, but if all of that doesn't fit with your plan for my life, I don't want it. That's what Jesus' name means. Whatever is according to God's plan for my life. Okay, so Hannah said, Lord, I want a son, and if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you, and he'll serve you. His name was Samuel, great prophet of God. But this woman had never been with a man. And God said, don't you remember all those women that couldn't have babies? Watch this. She's going to have a baby before she even knows a man. Boom, she's walking around 9 months. You know what's amazing about this? I want you to imagine if a girl in your neighborhood got pregnant as a teenager, had a baby, and the whole time her testimony was, I'd never been with a boy. Would you believe her? No. And all your life, you would think she was a liar. And all your life, you wonder who the dad was. That was Mary's experience. And that was Jesus' experience. Until the brothers started walking on water. Then they're like, okay. maybe something. Okay. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Everyone say sign. And what's a sign? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. What? That's what the angel said. That's in Isaiah. Now the angel comes and says, here's what's going to happen. That's how we're going to know. He is the only one born of a virgin. By the way, Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born. But after that, she had, I think, at least 8 kids. And why I say that is because in Matthew chapter 13, they say that Jesus' brothers, he had 4 brothers. And then it says all his sisters, not both, as though they were 2. So all to me means at least 3. But even if it's just 2, he had at least 4 brothers and 2 sisters by Mary. And that doesn't diminish Mary at all. Unless you put Mary at the level of Jesus, which some people do. Mary and Jesus are not at the same level. And you shouldn't pray to Mary because she can't do anything for you. She's just a godly woman. And when I say just a godly woman, because compared to God, it's just a godly woman. But she's not a co-redeemer. She can't get you to heaven. She can't respond to your prayer. She can't do anything for you. She gave birth to a son. And by the way, her having babies doesn't make her any less holy. So I just want to throw that in there for free. Number three, why was he born? Why was he born? To reign on the throne of David and to reign over eternal kingdom. To reign over an eternal kingdom. Verse 32 says, he will be great, will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. In every nation on the planet, there is a government. Legal, illegal, doesn't matter. Righteous, unrighteous, doesn't matter. On every community, there is a government, a structure of ruling that community. And government is something that God created and is a structure and a system to execute God's plan. That's what government is. Every country or community has a choice. Do we execute government in a way that honors God or not? This country was founded on the principles that our government would honor the Bible. We are getting away from that, but the concept of government comes from the Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the government will rest on Jesus' shoulders. He is the King of all kings, the President of all presidents, the Emperor of all emperors, the Lord of all lords. The reason I bring up the government thing is not to get political about our government, even though you need to pray for our government all the time, national, local, and everything, that they would honor God. But the bigger issue is that when we die and go to heaven, there will be a righteous government, and Jesus is the King. And his government is eternal. And we will be subjected to that government. And Christ will rule according to righteousness. Not vote, not politics, not lobbying, righteousness. And that righteousness is already established. It's right here in the book. He's not making up the rules. He's not going to, you know, he's not asking for your opinion, or my opinion. He already got it down. He is the King of all kings, the ruler of all rulers. And what he wants to do is he wants to rule in your heart. What's ironic about Christ, when he came and started saying he was the King of the Jews, they're like, well, where's your army? Where's your palace? Where's your robe? He's like, my kingdom's different than yours. You think you need all that to show your power. My kingdom is the opposite. I rule inside people's hearts. And I rule according to love and gentleness. I want you to read the last verse because this verse, this is the last verse, is a significant verse. Verse 38, Mary is hearing all this. And by the way, before you read the last verse, here's what the angel's saying to Mary. Mary, can we borrow your life? In other words, are you good with this? We're going to give you a son. You're going to have to carry around his reputation. You're going to have a lot of drama in your life, but your son is going to be the king. Can you deal with that? Are you okay with that? When God asks you to follow him, a lot of times there's baggage. When God asks you to follow him, a lot of times it's sacrifice. When I say baggage, that people won't get it, and they may criticize you for it, and they may question you and wonder about you, and you're like, I want to follow God, but I don't want to deal with the baggage. What he's telling to Mary is, Mary, I want you to follow me. I want to use your body. We want to have this baby, and you're a godly woman, but here's what's going to happen. You're going to do this before you get married. Okay, you're going to be pregnant before you get married. Are you good with that? She's like, okay. But it's going to be from God. So the decision Mary has to make is yes or no. The decision you have to make is that God says to you, I've offered you a promise to give you a future and a hope to bless you. Yes or no? He wants to know. Do you accept or do you reject? That's what God wants to know. So let's look at what it says in verse 38. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. In other words, here I am. Let it be to me according to your word. And then the angel said, he left. Mary said, Gabriel? Okay. Here I am. And he said, good. So I want to know, and he went back to God. God said, Gabriel, go down and talk to Mary. Come back and tell me what she says. He's there. What's up, Mary? This is what's going to happen. You're going to be pregnant, and you know, you and Joe ain't going to, y'all going to wait till later, and Holy Spirit's going to hook you up, and then you're going to have a son. He's going to be the king of the earth. Me? Yeah, you, the Savior out of you. And she says, okay. So here's what God says to you. I want you to be obedient to me. I want you to make a decision today that you are going to follow me and walk with me and do what I say. You have to decide yes or no. Yes or no. If you say no, fine, that's on you. But you'll take the consequences. But if you say yes, Lord, forgive me, or Lord, I want to be committed. I understand your promises to me. I want them. I want everything you have for me. Today, I want you to make that decision today. That's what this is about. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about that tree. It has nothing to do with that tree. This has nothing to do with that. It has to do with a person. It's not a present, it's a person. So right now, I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to listen very carefully. God knows every single one of you, and he's saying, will you give me a chance today? Just imagine the angel Gabriel speaking to you, saying, God has need of you. Let me love you. Let me transform your life today, right now. Lord, we thank you. I thank you that you know everybody here very intimately. Very intimately, you know them. You know their pain, their burden, their fears. You speak to them all the time. You've affirmed that you've been speaking to them all these years. You affirmed that this morning by saying something to them that they've heard before. Today's a day for some of you to stop running from God and to run to God. Today's a day today for you to stop ignoring God and start listening to God. Stop disobeying and start obeying. If that's you today, for whatever reason, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I love you. Dear God, I want to be obedient. Please forgive me. Please accept me as your child. Please cleanse me of my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for being patient, for being born, for dying. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, I just want to ask you to stand up and acknowledge your confession, acknowledge your surrender, acknowledge God's love in your life. Just stand up to your feet and acknowledge if you prayed that prayer. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. 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 God is calling.